Well, good morning. Kind of feel like maybe I should start by introducing myself. My name is Kevin Lee, and I am still one of the pastors here at New Word Fellowship. Woo, what a couple of weeks it has been. And if by chance you're one of those who haven't heard, I had a heart attack on Monday, August the 9th. Have I ever told you all how much I hate Mondays? I just do not do Mondays well. Well, the good news is I really do have a great prognosis. My heart attack was described as mild, and so for the last couple of weeks, I have been confined to what I have called time out or sit down. Either way, that's what I have been doing. But let me tell you, it is great to be back. It is great to see you. It is great for me, for you to see me. So I think it's just a great day, and I think it's only right for me to talk a little bit today, kind of as a family update. And the truth is, you are family, and so through this message, I want to share a little bit about kind of the process, the journey, where I am, how I'm doing, and all of that. I am very much doing well. I'm still walking miles every day, as I have been for the last several years. I even walked laps in the ICU, no kidding. Had Diana bring me my tennis shoes so I could walk laps. Do we have that picture? Yeah, we had another gown picture, but I wouldn't let them put that one up. But walked laps, walked so much that I even had one nurse stop me because she was sure when she saw the tennis shoes that I was a runner and I was just trying to escape. And so she engaged me in conversation till she found out that it was okay. Honestly, there was 1 week of this slowdown that was hard for me, but honestly, it's been more about some head struggles, just kind of some dark season that comes anytime you face your own mortality. And I'll talk a little bit about that a little bit further in the message. But listen, it is really true that I am doing well, and one of the big takeaways that came to me during this sit-down came while I was still in the intensive care unit. I was having my chair time. You can have chair time anywhere you are, and there's nothing like ICU confinement to bring clarity to your time with the Lord. And so I'm still there in ICU, still trying to wrap my head around the fact that, yeah, I really had a heart attack. And yeah, they really did life flight me. And yeah, they put me at the front of the line for the heart cath lab, all of which I'm grateful for. But that morning I opened up God's Word and I was reading in John chapter 3. And one of the verses that I read, and by the way, it's King James just because I'm doing King James this year, was this verse. And it said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And I remember reading that and going, wait, what? Lord, I don't need a word like that. Are you telling me I'm on my way out? But then it came that gentle reminder of the Holy Spirit who just whispered to me and reminded me that, Kevin, it's never been all about you. Trust me. And it was like, oh yeah, that's my part. My part is to trust Him to do His part. And that's when life is sweet. You hear it oftentimes here, we talk about leadership as partnership. And during the sit-down, you've seen why that is so important and why that is our philosophy. And I want to just say publicly, what a great job our team did in my absence. They stepped up, they stepped in, they did whatever it took. They carried the extra load, and I am just grateful for the team that God put together here to do that. And our elders were great. They absolutely insisted I take some time to care for myself. And the truth is, I don't miss many elders' meetings. I just don't think that's wise as a leader. So I don't. But last month I did. And one of the sweetest moments in my sit-down was a picture that one of the elders sent me of that meeting. And this is your elders. And they're doing what elders do. They were praying for me. They're praying for you. They're praying for our team. They're praying for our church. They're praying for the kingdom. And listen, I am absolutely convinced that one of the things we all need to learn out of this season is that sometimes God sits us down in order to lift us up. Do you know that truth? Sometimes God sits you down in order to lift you up. And throughout my ministry, I have found that I often have to live out a sermon before God ever gives me the privilege of preaching the sermon, and that's true today. We're in this series called Start, and we've been talking about what's the next right step that you need to take in your walk with Christ. What's the next right thing that you need to do as you pursue a life with Jesus Christ? What's God telling you is your next step? Well, whatever it is, the message of this series is start. Michael talked a couple of weeks ago about how important those very first steps of faith, of committing your life to Jesus Christ, of following Him in believer's baptism, is so important. And you need to know, it's not too late for you to start wherever you are. And last week, Corey talked about start gathering more. The truth is, we are a community of faith that are on a destination journey. Our destiny is to gather in heaven around the throne of Jesus Christ. And as we're going to gather there, we are to gather here, especially in the mean times. And let me tell you, sometimes the times can really be mean, but you got to start gathering more. And today we're going to talk about start connecting more. Now, you do understand that gathering and connecting are not necessarily the same thing. Have you ever gathered in a crowded room with lots of people and yet at the very same time felt very much alone? Well, the truth is, we all have. Connecting is about genuinely and intentionally linking our lives to one another. So this is what I mean about you got to live the message before you get to preach the message. For 20 days, I stopped working as much as within my power to do so. For 20 days, I was resting, relaxing, disconnected. And by the way, let me just say to you as a church as well, a public thank you for every kindness that you showed. It made a huge difference, whether it was a text or a call or a card or food or meals or gifts or yard work or visits. All of that was amazing. Appreciate it so much, so thank you. But what I learned was that disconnecting is really painful. When you disconnect and you slow down and you unplug, a lot of those little touches that you get in life stop. Right? I mean, I get it. I understand. It makes sense. I'm supposed to rest. I've heard many of you say to me, well, I just thought, don't bother him. And I get it. That's exactly right. But let me tell you, when I disconnected, when my phone went silent, when the text stopped, and the people contact ceased, it really messed with my head. It really messed with my head. I had some dark days. I had some really dark thoughts. And I just want to live before you with transparency and authenticity, because this is the truth. You might experience this in your life as well. And what I came to understand is, listen, our adversary, the evil one, Satan, uses disconnection to stir up mistruths and lies in your head. He did it with me, and he'll do it with you. And I was just reminded again, it is just not good to be alone. And that's why it is so good to be home today. We were made for connection. That's true for me. That's true for you.
That's why the Bible teaches us over and over again, you've got to connect, you've got to make the effort. Ecclesiastes 4 says two people are better off than one because they can help each other. Galatians 6 says share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. James 5 says confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. What we're saying to you today is connection is intentional. You got to make the effort. And listen, connection isn't just wise for you. You need to understand that connection is very much the way of Jesus. I mean, think about it. If ever there was someone who could be a one-man show, it was Jesus. If ever there was someone who could have been a solo act, it was Jesus. If ever there was someone who could do it all, could go it alone, it was Jesus. And yet Jesus chose to do life in connection, and he gathered around him a team. And then in that team, he drew out three individuals for a special, deeper connection. Three apostles that Jesus is more intimate with even the rest of the team. Do you remember who they were? It was Peter and James and John. And they became like an inner circle. They experienced a deeper connection. They experienced a depth of intimacy. We're going to look at one story today that points to that. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 26. And what we're going to see is Jesus often took these three disciples off by themselves together. It happened at the Mount of Transfiguration. It happened when Jesus gave life and raised Jairus' daughter from death. And here we find that it happens the night before the cross. It's important that we connect. And listen, by the way, before I read, if you've not yet completed your digital connect card, I want to encourage you to do that. We have a QR code that you can scan. And if this is your first or second time to do that, we are actually going to bless a local ministry partner with an additional $10 gift just because you connected. Be intentional, be purposeful, and make that connection. We all need to connect, and Jesus was so intentional about connecting. Look at the scripture with me. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." And he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Gethsemane. This is the last night that Jesus has with his disciples. We're told that he is distressed. He is experiencing great stress, and he pulls off these three apostles and they go deeper together. And notice what he said to them. First of all, he said, "Stay with me." In other words, tarry with me. It's the idea of hang out with me, stick with me. In fact, the word that's used here in the Greek is the exact same word that Jesus used in John chapter 15 when he said, "Abide with me." It's this idea of connection. And then he said, "Watch." Stay with me and watch. I always thought it was kind of interesting that he didn't specifically say, "Pray with me." He says, "Watch." In other words, attend to me. Jesus asked them to abide and attend. He wanted connection. And let me just say, if Jesus wanted that in the dark night of his life, how much more so do you and I need that kind of connection in our life? And if we connect deeply, in a word, it is the word intentionality. It means to live a life of direction and decision and not simply default and drift. Are you living a life of direction and decision instead of just default and drift. So what does it take for us to connect more? That's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to invite Teray Jasper, our connecting pastor, to come and dialogue with me today about what connecting looks like at New Work Fellowship. So if you would give her a welcome as she comes today. Teray, it is so good to have you here, and we're going to be talking about what it means to have this intentional connection. And the first thing that I would say to you is that it means that you and I have to live on purpose. When Jesus asked them to watch, he was essentially saying, don't lose the sight of me. In the darkest night of his life, Jesus brought three people along with him on purpose. And you know, as I look back the last couple of years living with the COVID reality that we all been living through, isolation and distancing and disconnection has been so difficult. And the truth is, none of us have any idea what is coming. But I understand that this is absolutely true, that whatever comes, intentional connection, purposeful connection is what matters. Teray, you've been here just a couple of months, so you have a unique perspective. You can kind of see us with fresh eyes. And so I'd like you to share a little bit about your thoughts, about your perspective on community at New Work Fellowship.
Well, I'm new on staff, and I'm new to New Work Fellowship, and my husband and I are also new to Hopkinsville, still using our GPS to get places. I'm sure that'll stop. So we're learning Hopkinsville. We're learning the culture here. We're learning the culture of the church, and we love it because everyone has been so welcoming to us, and they have just taken us in, and they have connected with us quickly, and we feel like we are home. So as Connections Pastor, this is cool because I get to meet out in the Next Steps area, and plus I'm new, I keep introducing myself to people, and I have met all kinds of people. I have met people who have been here a really long time. I have met people who are new, people who just got baptized, and people who are just checking us out, and in the community. And I hear this one phrase over and over and over in the last 2 months. This church just feels like home when I'm here. And I love that. And home is a place where you feel comfortable. It's a place where you feel like you belong. And it's a place where you can just be yourself. And so one of the things I feel about New Work Fellowship since I've been here is that we have this atmosphere that you are welcome here. Come in and join us, no matter who you are. And we can't lose that. Because people need that in this community.
You know, home is such a great word. When I think about my confinement and disconnecting couple of weeks, you know, the thing that mattered more than anything else to me, I just wanted to get home. That was it. I just wanted to get home. And getting home in just a word was Diana. I just wanted to be with her, because that connection matters the most. And the truth is, I don't always live like that. But in that moment, it becomes absolutely clear, and that intentionality is what I mean, where we live with that reality that this is what matters most. A couple of months ago, the pastors and elders got together one evening, and we previewed a program that we're rolling out next month that you're going to hear a lot more about. It's called Grace Marriage, and we were able to go through that with our spouses, and it really is a great ministry. Listen, it's not a small group. It's not a marriage retreat. It very much is a marriage encounter. It's not an every week commitment. It's not even a once a month commitment. It is a once a quarter encounter where you are able to connect and intentionally
go deeper with one another. And at our Leadership Grace Marriage Gathering, when we met, we had a great meal, and we laughed, and we talked, and there was a lot of intentional one-on-one time with our significant other, and there were some tears, happy tears. And, we said things to each other that we probably should say more, but you get busy in life. And I remember going away saying to Diana, it felt a little uncomfortable and maybe even a little embarrassing to say those things or to hear her say the things that she said to me. And I said, but my takeaway is we sure need to do that more. We sure need to do that more. That's what I mean about really connecting. It's so easy to live life side by side, but not ever really connect with each other. Are you really connecting in life?
My small group and I, Wednesday night, we're studying Colossians, and it talks about being in Christ. And we're talking about being in Christ means that you're in Christ at home, too. I want Kevin to think that I'm the real deal.
Her Kevin.
Jesus. Oh, I'm so sorry.
She's married to Kevin.
My
not
husband's
me.
Name Kevin too. So this is Kevin Lee, and then I have my Kevin. So
in her phone, it is not my Kevin.
Yes.
That's how she saved my contact.
Yeah. It's Pastor Kevin, not my Kevin. so my Kevin, my husband at home. Yeah. So I want him to think I'm the real deal at home. I want him to know
right.
that I'm the same person in Christ that you would see at church. I'm that same person at home. That's important to me. We are stewards of our families. And so we should be in Christ and connecting at home.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I cannot strongly urge you enough. Mm-hmm. Couples, make a commitment. You can't even register for it this Sunday, but starting next Sunday, make a commitment to make this a priority. And to give yourself to intentionality in taking your marriage deeper. And we have a brief video that we want to give you, to let you see, give you kind of a glimpse of what that might look like.
Take a step for every dinner you didn't eat together at the table this week. If either of you would say that work hours or work stress can be a barrier to enjoying time in marriage, take 4 steps forward. If you feel like your marriage has fallen into a bit of a rut, the cell phone is a distraction in your relationship. Did you go to bed at different times any night this week? Feel like life has gotten hectic and a bit overwhelming? Do either of you take your cell phone to bed at night? Did you go on an intentional scheduled date this week? Life is managing you more than you're managing your own life. Okay, you can both turn around. When you see the distance, what one word comes to your mind?
Alone, because we're really separated, really far apart.
Sad.
Sad? Why is that?
Life.
Challenge. All right, let's get closer, whatever we got to do.
Sad, because I want to be close to him. Doesn't seem like we would be, like the distance would be there, but.
Look like a tunnel. Long tunnel. Seems so far away and so small.
You really don't think about how far apart you are with all of the things that life throws at you until you quantify it in a moment like this.
Would either of you like to get together and put together a strategy so that cell phones are not a distraction in a relationship at all? Take 2 steps forward. Would either of you like to put together a vision for your marriage and get on the same page and work toward it? Would either of you like to grow in both praying together and praying for each other? Would either of you like a better atmosphere in the home that's full of grace and peace? Would either of you like to learn to say no to some things so that you can be together as a family more often?
Take it from somebody who knows. Intentionally invest in the most important connections in your life. Make it a priority. I hope that you'll register for that next week. And one other plug I'm going to give you also for parents related to your kids. There is a great resource coming on September the 19th from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. Michael and Cliff have brought in a great resource to equip parents as you deal with social media and cultural shifts that are a reality that our kids are wrestling with. It's all about pointing your kids towards Jesus and connecting them to Jesus. And we believe in this so much, we're going to be providing lunch for you. We're going to be providing childcare for the kids, activities for the students. And we want to encourage you to be a part of that. If you have questions about it, talk with Michael or with Cliff. So again, the point is this: live on purpose and live with purpose. You know, it'd be easy to read this passage where Jesus takes the disciples, the three closest, and he goes off and he's with them. We say, isn't that great? Jesus had a hard night coming, and so he calls his buddies to him so that they would be there to support him. And that is true, but it's so much more than that. Connection wasn't just about what Jesus needed. It was also about what they needed. Think about who these three individuals would become who are spending these hours with Jesus. Peter, James, and John had unique roles that they were going to encounter some great struggle in their own. Think about who they are. Peter becomes the first leader of the church. James becomes the first martyr of the church. John becomes the last survivor of the apostles. They were going to have some dark nights. They were going to have some deep struggles. And Jesus knew they needed to be there to watch him so that they understood how they go through those dark nights of the soul. They needed to learn from him because they were going to suffer as well. So the reality is, we are too. We're all going to have struggles in life. So Trey, talk to us a little bit about what it means to live and function as a church, as a people of community.
Well, first of all, I think Jesus gave us great examples of different types of community. Particularly, I think he liked tables. Because if you'll walk through Scripture with me, through the Gospels, you can see this. There were circles and tables of people. So you have him sitting with the disciples, tax collectors and sinners. He sat with friends, and he even sat at table with Pharisees. And he also gathered children around him. So he liked the teaching and the conversation and the table. He didn't make himself above them. He was just one of them. And I think he made people feel like they belong, and he liked to teach. And miraculous things happened at those tables. I think people knew him better, and they liked knowing him better, but he liked knowing them. Second, I think we need to remember that the church is not a building. It's a people. So, and as a people, when you leave here, you're still a child of God. You're still a person who's a part of New Work Fellowship. You're still representing Jesus when you leave here. So we're a people. And we can create community anywhere, not just at church. And we try to provide all kinds of community here. But, you know, even my mom, She watches online. I had to put that plug in there. I don't know what service she was watching. But even my mom told me this past week, she's in Ohio, she's got some health problems, and she said that she watched the sermon, and she said, does someone different preach every week?
It was just funny. About.
Yeah. And so she and a friend sat down for coffee, and they had prayer time together, and they talked through Corey's sermon last week. I mean, that's her community. She found community even being sick. I've been in ministry a long time, and so I've seen a lot of things. So several years ago, at a church I was at, a few men felt like men needed some community. So they started a group at 6:30 a.m. on a Thursday. That group was full of men. They had to split into two groups within a year. They just did chair time together, basically. And just talked about the scripture. Men could just show up and listen if they didn't want to talk. And it was great. And so I love that they did that. I had a couple girlfriends of mine who started meeting before work and having their chair time, scripture time together before they went to work at a coffee shop. And they said, hey, if you meet anybody at church, tell them we'd love to have them join. They got up to like five ladies that just met every week, and they just found community before work. And they always said that was the best day of their week too at work, which I thought was great. A few things that I've done personally is one time I saw a need that God kept bringing up around me, and he talks to me like that, like in repetition. If I keep seeing something, I'm thinking, oh, are you saying something to me? So I had a group of single moms in their 20s, and I had them come to my house on Monday nights, and we gathered my living room. And I'll tell you, if I can do things, other people can do them. That's how I feel. We just talked about the sermon from Sunday. They all went to our church, and I just said, we're just going to talk about the sermon. That's the way that put us all on the same level. And so we just talked through the sermon, and I lived life with those girls for about a year. I had no idea the struggles that they were going through at that time. Those girls are all married now.
So now they have real struggles.
Yeah. So true. Now they need to come to Grace Marriage. There you go. And Kevin and I, we moved into a new neighborhood in 2012, and all these houses were going up, lots of young couples. And so we just invited everyone to our house on Monday nights that went to our church from our neighborhood. And we just talked about the sermon. Again, we just talked about the sermon. And we met. And a few of the younger couples after a year said, hey, do you care if we start our own group on Thursday nights? Because it's just a better night for us. And I was like, started one group and it moved to two. That's multiplication. And yeah. So, you know, I said, go. No, you're not going to be mad. No, you go on. So, I mean, there's just ways to create community outside the church and still keep being the church. And I think that all I'm saying is people of God need to live with intentionality. We're representing Jesus. And there are ways to start community with people in church and outside the church.
Absolutely.
And people need it.
Absolutely. You got to live with purpose. And you have to live on purpose. And finally, you got to live for a purpose. This deep connection between Jesus and Peter, James, and John, it was more than just what Jesus needed on a hard night. It was so much more than an example to Peter, James, and John for the struggles that they had coming. It actually reached beyond them. Because that same night when they were sitting around the table, Jesus prayed a prayer. And part of that prayer, this is what he said: I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's living for a purpose. He was praying for those who would eventually become disciples beyond Peter, James, and John. In other words, he was praying for you, and he was praying for me, and his prayer was that we would still be living out that same purpose. Listen, that's why you can't even come into this room without first walking under that purpose statement that is in the commons that says, we exist so that every man, woman, and child would have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Christ,
and go as the body of Christ. That's not just the purpose of New Work Fellowship. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. And we need to bring this intentionality, this intent purpose to connecting with others. So how do we live out that kind of deep connection on purpose? What other ideas do you got, Teray?
Well, here's some action points. First of all, we're rolling out something new that you have been working on all year.
All year.
It's called First Step, and it's a membership class. So if you're not a member here, Kevin Lee is teaching it, and you don't want to leave him alone, so you need to go to it.
I already told you, when I'm by myself, bad things happen, so y'all come.
So it'll be in the conference room over here, September 26th, 9:30 or 11, you can come to First Step. And this is more about connection and us and we as a church being connected. Another thing is we want to use this. Sorry, I missed a point.
That's all right.
Okay, so you can sign up for that in Next Steps. Next Steps is right out here. So speaking of Next Steps, what we want you to know is that's a place where I am and the staff go and a few of our other people are out there. We have that as a place where you can sign up for anything or ask us anything. We will find the answer. And we have a list of small groups that are out there. We have sign-ups and every QR code that we have. We got it at Next Step, so we can scan your phone on it, and you can get signed up for things. So you can always come there to get signed up. Something else I would say is if you're in a group now here on campus, be welcoming. I have people come into my group, because you don't have any homework in my group on Wednesday night, so people can just pop in. And they come in, and I want people to just rush when they, oh, come in. I want them to feel a part of that. And so always be open or find somebody friendly in your group to be that person. So ask God. This is the next thing. Ask God if there's a way for you to create connection outside here at work or a little prayer group or whatever that is so that people feel. Find out who's not connected to a church. And connect with them. It's kind of like investing in them and inviting them here so they can find a place and get closer to Jesus. We want people to find a church home. And we want people to grow. And as more people come, the larger the church gets, the smaller it needs to get. We have this large group environment right now, but we need to have smaller group environments so people feel known and cared for.
Absolutely. You know, we're talking about focus and purpose and direction. Where are you intentionally creating connection, not just for you, but for others, because God's placed you right where you are? The truth is, we only have a short while that we get to partner with what God is doing in this world to make a difference in people's lives. Honestly, that's the biggest takeaway for me. From these weeks of sit down and be still. I'm not going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. Bring your best game. Be focused. Be intentional. You know, my ICU chair time is true for me, but not just for me. It's true for you. He must increase. I must decrease. We're all living that same journey. The psalmist even wrote these words. He said, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You do understand that's not bad. That is just the truth. That we need to live with intentionality and be focused and to join God in the work that He's doing. And specifically, I want to challenge you to bring intentionality to your connections. And specifically, I want to say this. If you've not yet connected your life to Jesus Christ, if you've not yet trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, where you have committed yourself to Him fully, need to make that commitment. I encourage you to make that commitment, because listen, someday death will sit every one of us down. But Jesus is the one who can lift you up, and he promises that he will. So if you've not yet made that commitment of faith, that's where you start. And I would love to talk with you about what it means to give your life fully over to Jesus Christ and experience that deep connection. But once we're connected to him, then he calls us to live like him, in deep connection with one another. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father and our Lord, we thank you so much that you did all that you could do to reach out in connection with us. You gave your own Son to come into this world, who gave his life that we might be part of the family, that we could travel home to be with you. And Lord, the truth is, sometimes life is hard. There are difficult seasons that come. Oh, but we don't go through that alone. You speak to us. You walk with us. You encourage us. You are a blessing. So, Father, wherever we are journeying, wherever we are walking, help us to bring such clarity and focus to the deep relationships that are so important, and help us remember that everywhere we go, we can be inviting others to the table of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.